What's up, Wisconsin? I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am so excited for today. First, because I'm going to take a little vacation after today. So there's that. You're not going to want to miss a single one of the Maggie Dawn shows, though. We got stacked guest hosts coming in, all with a different perspective that you're going to want to hear. But I'm more excited because I am joined by my friend, Mayor Cavalier Johnson, mayor of the city of Milwaukee. Welcome, Mr. Mayor. So great to have you.
Maggie, I'm happy to join you. How you doing?
It's so good to see you, my friend. It's been a few years since it's just been me and you riffing on some things, right?
Right.
I remember when we sat down, this was probably like 10 years ago in your aldermanic office, talking about the city's retirement plans.
Yeah.
Wow. Have things changed? We're both in a little bit of a different position now, huh?
I'll say so.
Right. Well, congratulations on all you have accomplished. It has been an absolute whirlwind of a first term, which was not even a full first term. So much has gotten done. You have gotten so much done on behalf of the city of Milwaukee. Can you tell us a little bit, like, what do you think? We know the sales tax is a huge deal. Maybe besides the sales tax, what do you feel personally is one of your biggest accomplishments over these blurrily fast two years?
Yeah, it was a very quick 2 years, this half term that we were on, as we are now under 2 weeks. After 2 years, we're down to 2 weeks before the general election to see whether or not I get elected to a full term, which I feel very, very confident about. Outside of the sales tax, which, look, I mean, that was extremely important for the city of Milwaukee. As you know, and your listeners know as well, I mean, we faced really an existential financial crisis that would have severely harmed service delivery in the city of Milwaukee. And we were able to avert that after many decades of trying by previous mayors and other elected officials as well. So I'm very happy about that. But there are a number of other accomplishments that we were able to get done in these last 2 years as well. I mean, the Milwaukee Brewers will continue to play baseball here, and there was going to be a local contribution from the city of Milwaukee that was a part of that deal. We worked in a bipartisan way with the legislature and the governor in order to make sure that that city contribution had no additional impact for taxpayers here in the city of Milwaukee. So I'm happy that we're able to do that and keep the Brewers playing here, keeping Major League Baseball here for the next number of years. Because look, I've made no bones about it. I've got a desire to grow this city and see a Milwaukee that gets to a million people in the future here. You'd be heading in the wrong direction if you started losing major league sports. So that, I think, was a major accomplishment. When I leave this office at whatever point in time that happens to be, folks who ask me what is the greatest accomplishment that you've done, I think I look back not just to the sales tax, not just to keeping the Brewers here, but I look to this program that we started 2 years ago called Camp Rise. It's a workforce development program that's run by our Workforce Development Agency, Employ Milwaukee. And the program works with kids, young kids of color, mostly young men of color, who are as young as 10 years old, 10 to 13 years old, who otherwise would have been recruited into stealing cars. That's why we started the program, as an alternative to, the Kia boys are out there, getting kids as young as 10 stealing cars. So right. We created this program to connect kids with, opportunities to serve, in their neighborhoods, getting them out of their neighborhoods, volunteer opportunities, caring adult mentors, putting money in their pocket and showing them the value of work, an honest day's wage for an honest day's work. And so of all the things that we've done, I think that is probably the thing that I'm most proud of.
Well, and I think your background and experience with Sponsor a Scholar through the YMCA certainly speaks to how important programs that give kids options, that introduce them to a world maybe outside of their immediate neighborhood and different opportunities. So critical. I was really, myself as a city resident, really excited to see Camp Rise come to fruition. And as a huge baseball fan, it is not lost on me that your general election date, April 2nd, is also opening day for the Brewers. Thank you, Mayor Johnson, for keeping the Milwaukee Brewers here in southeastern Wisconsin. You know, you and County Executive Crawley had what I would call like the secret sauce. It was this great coming together in terms of timing and new leadership to help forge some of those cooperative and hard-fought compromises at times with the Republican legislature. What was that like negotiating with Speaker Voss and the Republican-controlled legislature to get these things done? And what do you think was your biggest takeaway from that experience?
Well, look, I mean, I wouldn't be surprising, you know, your listeners or anybody out there in the state if, you know, I said that Speaker Voss was a savvy and skilled negotiator, and he is, quite frankly. I mean, we have certainly political disagreements. That's absolutely true. But I knew this when I came into office, that we had to get things done. And my thing is this, like, it is so easy. It's easy to sit on your hands or to point fingers, you know, at Madison or some other place and say, hey, you know, we can't get this done because of this or that. Or you could take another approach, and that's the approach that we took, which was actually trying to go in and fix the problem. Those negotiations, they were not easy. Trust me, they were not easy. They were difficult. They were long. They were time consuming. They were stressful. You go there in the morning, you get called back the next day. You didn't know if you were going to make it home that night. I certainly got called on the carpet by my wife and kids because I blew past, you know, the times that I said I would be home as we were working to get this deal done to make sure we preserve services in the city of Milwaukee. But ultimately, when I came into office, I knew that I had to get stuff done. But the only way that I was going to be able to get it done is working in partnership with the legislature. And, you know, is it the legislature that I would choose? No, in terms of leadership there. However, it is what it is right now. And I've got to work within that frame in order to get deliverables for the people of Milwaukee. And that's my job as mayor.
Yeah, it was palpable to me as general counsel for Milwaukee County through those negotiations that there was a different vibe, to just be very colloquial about it, in terms of the messaging about the opportunity, about a lot of candor about the challenges with getting that negotiation done. But again, my deep thanks to you and County Executive Crawley for getting that done, for being willing to embrace that different vibe, that different approach, and making the results the thing that we were working towards and working for. It really, I just felt really privileged to observe and help support in whatever little way I could your and David's incredible efforts. So again, kudos, because without you, without the county executive, that doesn't happen. We had different folks in those chairs for a while. That didn't happen. So again, my hat's off to you, sir. Two hugely important elections. I've been talking a bit about them on my show. The city attorney and the comptroller for the city of Milwaukee, arguably, in addition to the mayor's office, the two most important offices potentially at the city of Milwaukee. What do you want voters to know about the roles that each of these city officials play, and if you want the candidates that are running for them?
Sure. Well, I mean, I will not go into, considering the space that I'm in right now, officially in the mayor's office. I select not to comment on the candidates themselves necessarily, so much as talk about the roles of those offices. And those roles are critically important. They really, really are. When you think about the city attorney's office, I mean, look, that is the attorney for the city of Milwaukee. The job of the city attorney is not against, you know, sort of somewhat popular belief. The goal of the city attorney is not to represent the little guy out there. The role of the city attorney is to represent the city government, the corporation. You're a corp counsel of Milwaukee County. Your job, right, was defending Milwaukee County. Same thing for the city attorney here. And I think, you know, unfortunately, sometimes that gets, you know, sort of lost in the shuffle here about the actual roles and responsibility of the city attorney. So that's a responsibility there. It's a really, really important office that helps out in a number of different areas, not just, you know, in the area of law enforcement, but when it comes to enforcing zoning and ordinances the county council may come up with that I would, you know, seek to sign into law or to veto. The city attorney determines whether or not those things are defensible or legal and enforceable. So it's a instrumental office here in the city of Milwaukee. In terms of the comptroller, I mean, that's our chief financial officer, right? Separate from the budget director, who is an appointee of mine, the CFO of the city is the comptroller, and they work in a nonpartisan way to just make sure that our books are balanced, make sure that, you know, they're addressing issues of fraud, or if there are audits need to happen within city government, that they do that through that nonpartisan, apolitical, you know, sort of lens. And so it's very, very important. I mean, even for, you know, this additional revenue that we've been successful in securing for the city of Milwaukee, the comptroller's office will play a huge role in working to make sure those dollars are actually realized here in the city. I mean, the state, for instance, the state government, the Department of Revenue anticipates that with the 2% sales tax, the city of Milwaukee will be able to collect about $193 million in proceeds. Now, the comptroller, because, you know, this is the first time this has happened, works to make sure we're conservative so we don't over budget and recognize an amount that's even less than that. So I think we'll get to what the DOR projected, but the comptroller's responsibility is to make sure that we don't overdo or underdo it. So these are really, really important offices, and the people who hold those offices are really, really important. So I encourage, you know, your listeners and folks throughout the city generally to take a really hard look at the people who are running for those seats.
I appreciate that. I talk about the importance of these technical experts within local government and the fact that these are not policy offices. These are not political offices. They serve the entity, and by doing so, they serve the people. Everybody wants to know a little bit more about who you are, Mr. Mayor, so we're going to get to know you a little bit better when we come back. I'm joined this segment and the next, hopefully, and the one after that by City Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. My great privilege to have you, sir. Keep it locked, everybody. We'll be back with more with the mayor in just a couple of minutes.
Hey, I'm going to keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
Suddenly, I see around me a changed southeastern Wisconsin leadership structure, a changed set of leaders at Milwaukee County in the city of Milwaukee. That change feels good to me, and I think so much has been accomplished. One of the gentlemen responsible for all that forward progress is with me this half hour and into the next, Mayor Cavalier Johnson, mayor of the city of Milwaukee. So glad to have you. Folks, you've heard the mayor talk about policy. Now I want to ask you a little bit about yourself, which I love the fact that you've shared so much about who you are as a person as you've talked about policy. There used to be, you know, sort of this old bright line, right, in old political discourse where candidates didn't talk a lot about their families. They take like the one family shot and like that was it. But I know you grew up in the city in the 53206. You're a Bayview High School graduate. You went to Madison, majored in poli-sci. What was life like in the Johnson family growing up? I know you were one of 10 kids, so it must have been a bit of bedlam on occasion.
Yeah, so my parents actually separated when I was about 3 years old. And so I've got, you know, brothers and sisters on one side and brothers and sisters on another side. So it was never all 10, all in one place. And I happen to be the second oldest on both sides, my mom's side, as well as on my dad's side. It was interesting because, I mean, we lived with my mom and I lived with my mom for the most part of my life growing up. And she, for all intents and purposes, was a single mom up to a point. And, you know, that was, you know, when we lived in some of the more challenging neighborhoods and moved around a lot. And my dad's house, and I would go visit my dad every weekend up until the point where I, you know, started getting a job and, you know, doing the things that, you know, teenagers, you know, do, that was a little more stable. Lived, you know, farther out, you know, north and west in the city, not in the central part of the north side, where we bounced around to with my mom's side. And so there were challenges, right? I mean, I lived in some of the more challenging neighborhoods in Milwaukee. So I've seen it all. I've seen it all. I've experienced it all. I know what it's like to be hungry and have no food. I know what it's like to move around a lot. I know what it's like to see violence. I know what it's like to have family members shot. I know what it's like to have family members go to jail for hurting people. I know, you know, all those challenges, but also know what it looks like to have stability. You know, I also know what stability means for individuals and for their families. And then if you have that at a critical mass, what it means for neighborhoods, and then what that could mean for our entire city. And what happens in the city of Milwaukee, and this is, you know, where I think my job is as mayor is critically important, because what happens in this city has an outsized effect on what happens in the region and across the entire state of Wisconsin.
I mean, no question about that. I say repeatedly to anybody who will listen to me for even a nanosecond, as goes Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, so goes the rest of the state, period, full stop. When our tides rise, all boats rise. It's so critical, this linkage and this interdependence that we have with one another across the state. One of the things that I again, admire and respect is that you talk not just about your life growing up, but very openly about your role as a husband and father, as well as how difficult it sometimes is to balance that with all of your responsibilities as mayor. What do you find the most challenging? You have very demanding hats, if you will, that you wear. What is it? Just is it the 24 hours in a day? Is it that there's only one of you? What's the most challenging part of all those responsibilities?
Yeah, I haven't quite figured out the cloning thing.
Yeah.
Yet. I mean, you know, it's to me, I mean, it feels good in a sense, like, you know, I'm an elected official and like I have to get out and, you know, be present, you know, and, you know, make contact with folks and show them about how our policies and my administration are positively affecting their lives and their neighborhoods and our overall city. And that's great. When people say, oh, I see you everywhere. But if they're seeing me everywhere out there in the world, then that means my wife and my kids are seeing me less at home, you know. So there's a balance there, I think, that folks don't get to see, and I think, you know, for some folks they may not even really appreciate that. But that's something I'm cognizant about. You know, my daughters who are 5 and will be 6 as of Saturday.
You know, happy early birthday, right?
Happy birthday, Madison and Bella! Yay! Yeah, so they'll be 6. And I mean, I was in office their entire life as an alderman and city council president, and now as mayor. Oliver, I mean, he'll be 14 this summer. I've been in office since he was 5 years old. Like, wow. To him, this is old hat. He doesn't really care. But Madison and Bella, like, now they're like, you know, yeah, I'm missing daddy. Like, I'd like to see my dad. I remember, you know, Dominique was telling me during Halloween, Madison and Bella had costumes. They were like, oh yeah, we'd like to see daddy, or we'd like daddy to see our costumes if he ever comes home. Oh, you know, or like, you know, and they say, like, I get those, you know, sort of comments, and they're not trying to be stinging towards me.
Of course not.
And I'm gone.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's difficult. I do try to balance as best as I can, though, because, and I think folks understand this too, there is only one of me. I can't be everywhere. I do have a wife. I do have children that we're raising here too. And so, you know, sometimes I have to choose them, and that's important.
And I applaud that. It's, again, I think it's so important for leaders to talk about how difficult this is, because the strain of all of those hats and responsibilities, that's very real. It's very human. And folks, I think the vast majority of us in our lives feel that pressure, whether we've got kids or not. You often feel like there's just not enough of yourself to go around to everyone. That's such a human condition these days, right? I mean, again, no matter where you're from, what your job may be, I think that is a fairly shared phenomena in this moment for the vast majority of working Americans. If you had a magic wand, what would be the one thing that you would want to wave your wand and create for families in the city of Milwaukee?
Stability.
Yeah.
Stability.
Yeah.
I've seen the value of that. And you see it, I mean, and certainly in neighborhoods in Milwaukee, you see it in other more affluent, well-to-do neighborhoods in some of our suburban communities as well here. When folks have stability in their lives, they've got a good job that's paying them well. I mean, they can, you know, buy their home or if they'd be a long-term renter or whatever the case may be, they're in a stronger spot to provide for their kids, and their kids come from stability. And then they stay in one place. They're not transient. They're not moving around,
yeah,
which is harmful to neighborhoods and the cohesion in neighborhoods. When you get a critical mass of that happening, of that stability, then it creates the public safety that all of us ultimately want to see. So if I had the magic wand and I could make one thing happen, it would be making more stability in the lives of Milwaukeeans and their families.
We all deserve that. And certainly every single child in the city of Milwaukee deserves that. We're going to be back with more after news and the farm update with City of Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson, my special guest on this afternoon's edition of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You're going to want to keep it locked because I've got, you know, some heavy stuff for the mayor, but also those questions you've been just bursting to ask, like coffee or tea, dogs or cats, you know, the really important things that we want to know about our mayor. Keep it locked, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Makes you feel warmer when you're trying to remember why you are. She likes to leave you hanging on a word. Suddenly I see. Suddenly I see. This is what I want to be. Suddenly I see. Suddenly I see. I got a pocket full of sunshine. I got a love. My sunshine for southeastern Wisconsin has been brought by Mayor Cavalier Johnson, City of Milwaukee Mayor, doing so much good, not just for the city, but for all of us in the state of Wisconsin. Because as we've been discussing, Mr. Mayor, here on the Maggie Dawn Show, as goes Milwaukee, so goes Wisconsin. It is the God's honest truth. Again, my thanks to you for being here. I wanted to ask some fun questions just to get to know you a little bit better. And then, you know, then we'll return to the real business. But let's start with some silliness. All right. Dogs or cats?
I'm partial to cats.
Cats? I would not have guessed that. The mayor likes cats. Coffee or tea in the mornings?
I drink neither.
Neither? Are you not a caffeine guy?
No, just don't really like the flavor. Like, if I drink it, it's got to be like, you know, like a sweetened something, like a dessert coffee.
Dessert coffees are totally, those still count. are you like a Diet Coker? No.
I mean, I drink it for the taste, not for the caffeine. I have nothing against caffeine, but I just.
Yeah, Diet Coke for me is like the fifth food group. it's an essential. Fall or spring?
Ooh. I don't know. My birthday's in fall, but my daughter's birthday in spring, so I don't know.
That's a clear coin flip. Beyonce or Rihanna? Inquiring minds want to know.
Oh, gosh. Love them both, but I'm going to say Beyonce.
He is a Queen Bey fan. My opening music is Beyonce, so I got to go with Bey myself. Vegas or Miami?
I've neither been to Vegas nor Miami, so I don't know. But I would presume for me, probably Miami.
Yeah, I'm partial to a little humidity with my heat. You know what I'm saying? I like to feel the sweat. Now, are you a workout person?
That is Dominique's bag.
I know that Dominique probably is like, he needs to be. I can hear yelling at the radio, even though she's not in my cans. Milk or water or nothing with meals, with your meals?
Probably have water.
Water, excellent. All right, this is the big one here. Culver's or Cop's Custard? Ooh, it's a tough one, I know.
Whichever one I'm eating at the time.
Which I always say, whichever one's closest to my position. pull it up on the GPS. Custer, that's where I'm going, right?
Yep.
All right, I got one. When you're watching the game, burgers or wings?
I like food. I want both.
Yeah, I'm.
Is that an option? Both?
Heck, you're the mayor. You can say whatever you want and reframe these questions however you so choose. I myself am a bit of a foodie, so I always like the wings and the burgers as well. Baseball or football?
Baseball.
Oh my.
Well, only because like my daughters, because we live close to American Family Field.
Yep.
And it like when we get close to the ballpark, they know that they are like almost home. And aww, they just love going to see the Brewers play. They love it. So we go baseball.
I could do a whole entire show about Wisconsin's relationship with both sports. Because sometimes I think the Brewers don't get they get a little short shrift in terms of some of the love that may or may not be felt from time to time. So I love that answer. I basically grew up in the shadow of Miller Park myself. Back then, of course, County Stadium. So I feel that homestead love as well. Do you have a favorite cocktail?
I just found what my cocktail is like a year ago.
All right, hit us. What's the cocktail of choice?
And even though I went to University of Wisconsin, which, they do a lot of drinking and partying, I never found one when I was in college. But it is a brandy old-fashioned sweet. I've not tried sour yet, so I'm interested in that. But brandy old-fashioned sweet, that's my drink.
The entirety of the state of Wisconsin is nodding along with you. I got a very brief brandy story. I was working in L.A. remotely. A couple of my friends from the University of Wisconsin were living out there. Oh, we're having a football party. Great. What can I bring? They said, bring the fixings for brandy old fashions. I go to the liquor store that's on my way to their house. I ask, walking through the brown alcohol, aisles, no brandy. I go up to the guy, do you have brandy? He says, yes. Goes into the back, comes out. I literally blew dust off the bottle. And he looks at me and says, are you from Wisconsin? Enough said. I think we consume more brandy than the rest of the United States combined. I love that. What's one thing about you that would surprise the heck out of folks?
Maybe two. So I am a big video game player. Have been since I was a kid. I love playing video games. Right now I'm playing The Legend of Zelda. I've beaten every single one since 1992 on the consoles. Link to the Past, going back way back then. Right now, I'm playing Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. That, and I'm a big WWE fan, too.
This is specifically my mayor now. This is crazy.
Yeah, Chevy, if I may. He's got a little personal flavor for everybody. I would not have guessed that in a million years. I love it. All right, next one. Sneakers or wingtips?
These days with me, probably wingtips.
Well, yeah.
I don't get to wear sneakers very much.
Do you have a pair of the men's dress shoes with the sneaker sole, which has become all the rage?
No, not yet. I've been curious about them, but I don't have that yet.
Well, you got to get that on the birthday/Christmas list because that's the new jam. I remember the entire, right wing sort of orbit lit up when Joe Biden, the president, had those on in the Oval Office. I said, listen, if they had made ladies 4 to 5 inch heels with a nice rubber bottom that was like an athletic shoe, I would have those on myself. You know what I'm saying? What is your proudest personal accomplishment? Obviously, becoming mayor, the birth of your beautiful children, your marriage to your incredible, powerful wife, all those things. We're not going to count those. Other than that stuff, which we know and very much love and care about you for, what comes to mind as one of your biggest personal accomplishments?
Well, outside of, my marriage and my children and becoming mayor or my electoral victories at all, I would say probably the fact that I'm a first generation college graduate in my family, and not just a first generation college student, but I attended and graduated in 4 years on time with no debt from our state's flagship university, the University of Wisconsin.
That is, listen,
Let's celebrate that. I think that is just amazing. I too was the first lawyer in my family. Other folks had gone to university, but the first lawyer in my family, and I basically self-financed that. And I remember I share that pride when I think back on, man, I did this, right? Like, check this out. That feels really good when you look around. We got to finish with the serious stuff about the business of Milwaukee, of course. Mm-hmm. What do you want folks in other parts of the state of Wisconsin, because we got statewide listenership here. What do you want folks in other, in outstate, upstate, west, to know about the city of Milwaukee that they might not know or might not be aware of?
Well, first of all, I want them to come here.
Yes.
I want them to visit here. I want them to put their feet on the ground in this city and experience this city. Milwaukee is not just for the people who live here. Milwaukee's for the region. It's for the entire state. I mean, think about this, right? The people that live in New York State, right? It is an experience when they go to New York City. The people who live in Illinois, it's an experience when they go to Chicago. I mean, the same can be said for so many big cities and so many states across the United States. I mean, this is the largest city in the state of Wisconsin. Roughly, one in 10 people who live in the state, they live here in the city of Milwaukee. I mean, this is a big city. It's a diverse city. It's an incredible city. If you've seen the shore of Lake Michigan and other parts of the state further north, but if you haven't experienced seeing the lake on your right, if you're looking north, and then looking back at the city on your left, and you'd be amazed to say, like, wow, this is in my home state. I want folks to come and to be able to experience this, to experience the diversity that we have here in the city, which really, I think, extends to the entire state of Wisconsin. So that's what I want folks to know, that we're a welcoming community, and we want people to come and see us and be on the ground with us. We're all Wisconsinites at the end of the day.
Yes.
All of us root for the Packers. All of us root for the Bucks and the Brewers. All of us, you know, cheer for the Wisconsin Badgers and the Marquette Golden Eagles and the like. You know, there are more things that bind us than separate us. And I want people to see that. I want them to come here.
Amen to all of that. Very seriously, we're in Women's History Month. Last month, of course, Black History Month. And you are history making in your own right, Mr. Mayor, the first elected African-American mayor of the city of Milwaukee. Do you feel a weightiness being that first? How does that sit for you as the human being going through the job and the duties and those responsibilities every day?
You know, so I go about my job every day, just simply doing the job, I don't think about, you know, the fact that I'm a first. I know that I am, like, mm-hmm. it's cognizant to me, but I just, you know, try to work to deliver for the people of Milwaukee every single day, because as you said, and as I agree, what happens here has an outsized effect, not just on the people who live in the city, but the region and indeed the entire state of Wisconsin. But the thing that that really resonates with me is that when I'm out there and I go to a number of schools each and every single week, or when I still go out and knock on doors like I used to when I was alderman, but I still, you know, I still sneak and do as mayor to check in with folks. And especially when I go to neighborhoods like the ones that I grew up in, these neighborhoods that are filled with opportunities of promise, like kids in Milwaukee, young people in the city, especially young Black kids, young kids of color, they can see the reflection in the mayor now. And that is one of the most powerful things that I can think about in terms of this job, that people can see the reflection in me. They know that it's possible for them to achieve. And I keep going out around the city and preaching that gospel to those kids, because I may be the first, but in no way, shape, or form do I want to be the last. I better not be.
100%. If you would have asked me when I returned to the city just over 10 years ago, if at one time I would have thought that we would have a Black mayor, a Black county executive, a Black chief of police, a Black sheriff, a Latino leading the Common Council, and the first African-American Latina leading the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors, I would have said, I'm sorry, are you talking about Milwaukee County and the city? And yet here we are. It gives me hope every day. What is the one thing, if maybe more than one thing or an idea or a value that you think can help bridge the gap across the aisle to legislative Republicans
and Republicans and conservatives across the state to help all Wisconsinites live a more secure, stable, and engaged life. What's the one thing that pops to mind that we can all hope to do better together?
You know, we talked a lot about sports and how that brings, you know, people together in our state. I think that all of us should remember what I said before, too. We're all Wisconsinites. All of us are. We may have, you know, we may live in different places or have different cultures and have different challenges. But really, that's the thing that binds us all together. And I even want those legislators to come here and experience and see Milwaukee, too. I mean, I know that there are members of the legislature right now who have never been to Milwaukee. We should change that. We should get them on the ground here, and they should see that this economic powerhouse that powers the state's economy is here in all the diversity and all the promise that it holds.
Couldn't agree with you more, Mr. Mayor. That's an invitation from me, Maggie Dawn, and Mr. Mayor Cavalier Johnson, mayor of the city of Milwaukee. Come one, come all to the city. We got so much to share, and let's do it together. Mr. Mayor, my great thanks for sitting for this longer interview. I really respect and appreciate your time, sir. And again, my congratulations on a very short term. Well served. Best of luck on April 2nd.
Thank you, Maggie. Really appreciate it. Nice to join you.
Yeah, great to have you. Hope we can do this again soon, sir. That's Mr. Mayor Cavalier Johnson, mayor of the city of Milwaukee, here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Don't go anywhere. We got so much coming up next after these short messages.
There's a place that I go that nobody knows, where the rivers flow, and I call it home. And there's no more lies, and the darkness is light, and nobody cries.
No scrubs on this show, that's for darn sure. And we do just the opposite. We bring in the best, the brightest, the most talented elected officials, people with things to say, and certainly our last guest, a shining example of that here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Again, my thanks to Mayor Cavalier Johnson, City Milwaukee's mayor, for an incredibly short term that packed in more punch than I've seen maybe in the, you know, 45 odd years that I have been a resident and homeschool girl from Milwaukee, probably more done in his 2 years. I just, that's my opinion. Others can argue with me, but I really think Mr. Mayor got it done, as well as my former boss and client, Mr. David Crowley, County Executive of Milwaukee County. Listen, top of the hour, we're going to be kicking off our word of the day right into spring text to win statewide contest. You're going to want to be here for that. I'm then going to move into a discussion about Viktor Orban and these crazy visits that he had with Donald Trump and the Heritage Foundation. We're going to spend a little time talking about, you know, totalitarianism and the moment that we find ourselves in. I also need to break down for y'all the legal chaos that has been going on between the Supreme Court and the Fifth Circuit and federal district courts surrounding Greg Abbott basically deciding that Texas is now going to run the foreign policy of the United States, including the border between Texas and Mexico, something that has never, ever been the case in the United States before. But don't worry, folks, it's not all doom and gloom on the Maggie Dawn Show. Before our next hour is up, I'm going to leave us all, before I go on vacation, with some good news, the things to be hopeful about, because that is just as important as all the guts of the stuff and the things that are happening. If you want to join our conversation or get some questions lined up about what the hell Viktor Orban is doing as Donald Trump's new best friend, why the Heritage Foundation is joining basically a Hungarian think tank organization, because that's weird, right? Said, what? If you got thoughts and questions about all that, start hitting me up. Let's get the phone line stacked up. I can get some callers in. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I want to know what your questions are. I certainly have some thoughts, and you will hear them. But I got to share a little bit on you. This morning, I was invited to speak with Devona Wright Cottrell. She is the general counsel of GMR Marketing, which is a global marketing firm. She and I were invited to speak at a Women's History Month event. And it was really a moment of reflection for me. And I just wanted to share a little bit with our listeners. I continue to be so incredibly thankful for the privilege to come on these airwaves and talk with each and every one of you every day. It's really been the dream of a lifetime. I can't believe I get to do this as my job every day. The fact that I'm a woman talking about politics certainly isn't missed. And so taking a moment during Women's History Month to be so thankful for the Civic Media Radio Network and each one of you as listeners, I couldn't do this if you all weren't listening. But I also want to give special thanks to my fellow colleague on Civic Media, Jane Matinere, our program director, Catherine Lake, as well as Carol Kane, whom I used to listen to on the radio on KLH growing up in Wisconsin. It was great to hear a woman's voice on the radio. I also have to give a shout out to my wonderful producer, Anya Esther. It is incredible to do this work with a woman in the booth every day, and a woman is my program director boss. That is really a special, special thing for me, and I'm really excited. I'm going to share with y'all the lineup that we've got for these guest hosts on The Maggie Dawn Show. First and foremost, I have to give the props and the ups to Anya, who is going to be guest hosting next. It's Tuesday and Wednesday, correct?
It's Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. Yes.
Yep, Tuesday. And you're going to be talking TikTok.
Yep.
You're going to be talking about, what was the other topic?
We're going to talk about the potential for film incentives, meaning tax incentives for film companies to make stuff here. They get a little kickback based on how many people they hire. Wisconsin used to have them. They went away. Because they went away, we have lost out on a ton of opportunities. And I'm bringing on a very special, I won't say it yet because I haven't booked it, but there's chance that somebody who taught me how to be a producer in school is going to get to be the person to explain this to people. So I'm very excited for those two episodes. Wednesday, same time, same place.
Yeah, don't miss it. Anya Esther behind the mic on The Maggie Dawn Show, guest hosting for me this Thursday. So tomorrow, folks, the City of Milwaukee Budget Director, Nick Kovac, is going to be behind the mic, guest hosting for me on The Maggie Dawn Show. He's got a whole ream of guests lined up. You're not going to want to miss Nick. On Friday, my good friend, incredibly skilled attorney Liz Miles will be guest hosting. Liz is going to be talking about basically the pros and cons of plea bargaining. It's a really interesting topic because there is basically both a liberal and a conservative case against plea bargaining, which I always find really fascinating when there are issues where the sort of ideological underpinnings of some of our partisanship actually end up mediating in favor of the same outcome. Here that we should really be doing away with plea bargaining. She's also going to talk about some of the sorts of land disputes that folks get into, which I'm sure any of you that have owned a home and had a nightmare neighbor will want to hear about, whether you're way upstate in Rhineland or west in La Crosse, we're down in the Racine Kenosha area. Not going to want to miss Liz Miles on Friday. Monday, we've got State Representative Evan Goyke going to be behind the mic for The Maggie Dawn Show. Evan's got some great guests lined up. I'm really excited to hear what Evan is going to share. Of course, as we noted, Tuesday, Wednesday, that's going to be Anya. Whoop-de-woo-woo. And then, listen, one of my best friends in the whole wide world is going to be guest hosting next Thursday. This is Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson. She is just an absolute shining star, a font of both reasonableness and passion for values that I think really connect us all across party lines. You're not going to want to miss County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson next Thursday on The Maggie Dawn Show. And rounding it out next Friday before I return on April 1st, just ahead of Election Day and opening day for the Milwaukee Brewers. Next Friday, it's none other than Civic Media's own Jim Santel, going to break down all sorts of legal technical things for you and make it interesting and sexy all the while. The Morning Cannoli Maggie Dawn Show mashup next Friday with Jim Santel. We got top of the hour, news, weather, and sports. Just a few minutes, I'll be back. We'll dig into Viktor Orban, and then we'll talk about a little bit of the legal chaos that's happening in Texas. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Don't go anywhere, folks. I'll be back with more in just a couple.